always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers creator for Offside, joined on this fine Monday afternoon by Matisse Thybul. Welcome. No, I'm kidding. He's not actually here. But we are going to be watching him play basketball this season, as according to reports that date back to I think Mark Stein was the first person to draw the link there, like a week or two ago. The Lakers are going to land Matisse Thybul on a veteran minimum contract, and he will have an opportunity. I really think he'll have an opportunity to start. So we'll talk a little bit about that, as well as the timeline that went on there. The Lakers have been interested in Thybul for a long time. So I'll offer a little bit of context to that. We will break down the roster as it exists right now, but also acknowledge the fact that because the Lakers currently have 16 guaranteed deals on their books, another move has to be on the way, whether that's a consolidation trade, whether that is waiving somebody, whether that's trading Bronny to wherever LeBron signs. The Lakers are going to have to make a decision to be roster compliant, legally compliant, going into this upcoming season. So we'll discuss that as well. And then, as always, over the course of the show, if you guys have any questions or comments, go ahead and hit me with them, and I will answer as many of them towards the back end of the show as I possibly can. A quick reminder, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show. Turn on notifications for YouTube so you get the notifications for the show. And if you guys are listening to the show in its podcast form, please hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get those podcasts, preferably on Odyssey, but anywhere you get them is perfectly fine by me. Today's show is brought to you in video form, as always, by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA. And a little bit of news on the Prize Picks front. If you use that promo code, I just got this literature in the email or via email right before I went live. So this is from Prize Picks. Starting today, Monday, July 20th, if you sign up, play a lineup for $5 and use that promo code HMA, you get $150 in free Prize Picks lineups if you win that first bet. So bet on something super duper conservative and win triple your money. Triple the original offer. If you sign up, use that promo code and win that first lineup selection. So check out Prize Picks up in the ante here. All right, let's go ahead and dive on in. Starting with the news that Matisse Thybul is going to be a Los Angeles Laker. So the Lakers have been interested in Matisse Thybul for a long time. I've documented a lot of conversations between Rob Pelinka and Joe Cronin, two executives who love to talk on the phone, love to negotiate against each other, but never actually get anything done. And in this case, the Lakers waiting out Joe Cronin led to landing a player that they've been interested in for a couple of years now, without having to give up any kind of trade assets. They get Thybul as a veteran minimum signing. Reports surrounding this situation, I think Shams reported as part of breaking this news today, that the Lakers and Blazers held conversations about a sign and trade so that Thybul could maybe get paid a little bit more, but they weren't able to come to any kind of agreement. So instead, they signed Thybul for the minimum without giving the Blazers anything. So and that's honestly pretty consistent with how talks have gone between the Lakers and Blazers, not just during the Rob Pelinka, Joe Cronin eras, but just forever. Like, those two teams have just not done very much business with each other, you know, for the last 30, 40 years. So, yeah, this is a great signing, objectively great signing. I have zero concerns over this signing whatsoever. In fact, I would call it a great addition to the roster. It costs the Lakers nothing in terms of trade assets. This guy is on a veteran minimum contract, so even if he does miss time, as he has plenty over the course of his career, you're like, we sign him to a minimum. And, you know, sometimes it works out really, really well, like it did with Dwight Howard a couple of years ago. Or, well, shoot, now it was longer than a couple of years ago. But then sometimes you sign somebody to a veteran minimum contract and they're never able to get healthy. And either way, though, with it being a vet min, you could waive him and open the roster spot for somebody else if he isn't able to stay healthy. If he is able to stay healthy, Matisse Thybul is legitimately helpful. He's a great defender, and he also shoots north of 37% from 3-point range. Now, not a ton of volume there. He's somebody who defenses tend to ignore, but he's also capable of making those defenses pay if they back off just a little too far too frequently. So I was actually talking with Pete and with Jovan today in our little group chat, and I kind of bounced around the idea of Thybul as the day one starter over Jake. I think, you know, when the two guys are healthy, and Jake is a lot more frequently healthy, but I think Thybul is probably the better player than Jake LaRavia, you know, in a vacuum when both guys are available. Now, he is shorter. He's only 6'5". So you're asking him to play up a bit above his size, above his punching weight. But still, you know, that's how he's always played. He's one of those sturdy defenders with a really low center of gravity who is really difficult to move. He has that mentality that, you know, he just kind of gets after it defensively no matter who he is asked to defend, and would immediately bring some of that edge to a starting lineup that is, outside of Kessler, kind of sort of devoid of that edge defensively. So I like the idea of Thybul starting. It would make the Lakers pretty short. They are still working through scenarios to land a starting power forward. And according to other reports, they are still, I think Wojcie reported this, that the Lakers are still kind of combing the league for other big alternatives to having Kevon Looney be their day one backup, which is something I'm not really all that thrilled about. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out there if the Lakers are able to open another couple of roster spots. But Thybul is a great signing. Absolutely out of the park. Not a grand slam because it's a veteran minimum or whatever, but he's a home run signing for the value, for what you didn't have to give up. And in this case, the Lakers' patience paid off. Now you could say there's opportunity cost. It would have been nice to have a player like Matisse Thybul over the last couple of years. But even there, it's like you would have only had him for 40-ish games over the last two seasons combined. So, I would probably say that for what the Lakers didn't have to give up here, and for the player that Thybul is, this is I'm absolutely thrilled about this signing. This is a really, really, really solid addition to a roster and to a rotation that doesn't have nearly enough of what Matisse Thybul brings to the table. Now, the Lakers have 16 roster guaranteed deals. There are only 15 roster spots. That would mean
something's coming.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that trailer looks sick. I'm really excited about it. Unironically, really excited to get a good Marvel movie that everybody gets behind. Anyway, the something is coming indeed. So you have, again, 15 roster spots that you can carry going into the season. Lakers have 16 guaranteed contracts on their books right now. There is more work that they are looking to do, right? Obviously, Jonathan Kuminga is the name that we have heard the most about. But, you know, you also have PJ Washington as an option out there. Kyle Kuzma is an option, even though I think he's a little washed. The Lakers are kind of combing the league, trying to find proper value given the relative lack of assets that they are currently working with. They want to make a consolidation trade, much like they wanted to make a consolidation trade last year so that they wouldn't have had to lose Jordan Goodwin for nothing. But sometimes it works out, and other times, as was the case last season or last offseason, they weren't able to find that consolidation trade, and they wound up losing Jordan Goodwin for nothing. So I'm going to go ahead and continue to pay attention to that. But I have heard that like the two kind of most likely candidates to be moved are Dalton Knecht and Jaden Hardy. There just isn't any interest in Jared Vanderbilt around the league, and the Lakers aren't in a position right now where they can attach assets just to get rid of his contract. So I don't think he'll be the one moved, unless, you know, something changes. And then obviously in the case of Bronny, right, everybody is still waiting for LeBron to announce his decision. I think he's already made his decision. Now he's just figuring out how they're going to announce it and, you know, dotting T's and crossing I's. But yeah, they're just kind of rolling there. You know, as it stands right now, I think ideally Bronny gets traded to whatever destination LeBron selects for like a second round pick or something like that. And then, you know, you trade Jaden Hardy and Dalton Knecht for the starting power forward, maybe even utilizing the second round pick that you could theoretically get for Bronny. And that would open up between those two moves. That would open up two roster spots, because you would be getting back, you know, starting power forward X, and then you would have those two roster spots by way of Hardy and Bronny. And then I would assume that the Lakers would use one of those roster spots on like a high ceiling, low floor center, kind of a younger one, a younger project type center. Nick Richards comes to mind. And then I would imagine the Lakers would prefer to go into next season with an open roster spot, just in case somebody gets bought out or waived over the course of the season, and the Lakers would be able to act quickly. So that seems to be the plan. Not much has changed really because of, you know, the fact that we've heard about Dybul for a little while. It's just a matter of, you know, they've executed this step in landing Matisse, and now they have to execute the rest of their steps to fully, you know, finish this roster, put the final touches on this roster. And it's kind of hard to call finding a starting power forward a finishing touch. Like it, you know, just in terms of the timing, obviously it is kind of a finishing touch, but it's a key decision that the Lakers have to make. I you know, presented Pete with the hypothetical of this, you know, being the roster when he and I spoke on Friday, but I would, you know, obviously much rather go into the season with that starting power forward job or starting other forward job that isn't Luka, to go to a better player than, say, Jake LaRavia or even Matisse Thybul. Not saying that, like, in the case of Thybul, it's not that you're looking for that much better a player, realistically speaking. It's just that he is so unavailable so frequently that it's hard to go into a season with him, you know, kind of penciled into however many games that he might start. Maybe things turn around and he's able to be available more frequently. But in all likelihood, you have to plan for him missing time, which means it's really difficult to put him, you know, to consider him a starter going into the season. So those are going to be, you know, the things that we should be looking for as far as what comes next. Now I'm interested to see what you guys have to think about the state of the roster right now and the possibility of those next steps. All right, we will go ahead and Ashley Mowry, I don't think they're looking at Dick Richard. I think that, you know, in that case, Richard would be Richard, hypothetically. But I don't think that is who they are. Dick Richard is who they're looking for. I think they're looking for Nick Richard right now. Eric McGilp, 9704. Palinka is killing it. Let's see who the starting power forward is before I'm willing to go out on that limb. It's this weird thing that, like, for some reason we have reached the part of the offseason where people think I'm being too hard on Rob Palinka. All I said in yesterday's show is that, like, Rob thought going into this offseason that somebody was going to fall or become available by way of some of these cap crunches that a lot of these teams had to operate under. And he was right. And the Lakers front office was right in thinking that somebody would become available by way of that, those cap crunches. Where he was wrong, and this is objectively true, where he was wrong was thinking that the Lakers would benefit from some of those cap crunches more directly than they have this season. And, you know, they thought that maybe Isaiah Hartenstein or Alex Caruso or Lou Dort would maybe be available to the Lakers. That was never going to be the case, as I had kind of indicated last year. I never thought that that was going to be the case. They thought that maybe Aaron Gordon or Christian Brown or Cam Johnson or Peyton Watson would become available to them. And that was never going to be the case. And as it has played out, it was not the case. So it's not me, like, I'm not like criticizing Rob for the sake of criticizing Rob with that thought process. It's just pointing out that that was a miscalculation. Now, the Lakers have still had, I think, a pretty damn good summer despite the miscalculation. I think they've had a pretty damn good summer despite saying goodbye to LeBron in the fashion that they said goodbye to LeBron. Next season's team, or the roster that we have seen put together so far this summer, is like, I'm looking forward to watching it play basketball. We have to wait two long ass months to finally see this group play basketball. And by the time we actually see them, like, I'm going to be champing at the bit to, you know, maybe see that group play together. So, they're younger. They are, I think now we can, like, depending on who gets, the nod as the starting power forward, I do think they are more athletic than last year's team. They are, I think they make more sense offensively. I don't know that I'm going to call them better or more talented offensively than last year's team, because you have to do so much to make up for losing LeBron James. And there's like a very clear direction with this roster. Now, is it executable? Is this like long-term vision worth carrying out? Time is going to tell, but as it stands right now, you know, I'm not willing to say that Rob is killing it, because they clearly need a starting power forward. But I will say, like, setting that to the side over there, I've agreed with most of the decisions made to this point, at least in vacuums. Together, I don't really love the Colin Sexton signing still. Until they're able to move Hardy for something, I don't really love trading a legitimately good backup center for Jaden Hardy. I'm a little nervous that Kevon Looney is just washed. But like, aside from that, like, you know, I really like landing Walker Kessler. As I said earlier in the show, I really like the Matisse Thybulle signing. You keep Austin, which I think was critical to considering this summer a success. And, you know, we'll see what Mamu is able to do in a bigger role on this team. Grimes is a really interesting player in that, like, he certainly shows a lot of flashes where you're saying, geez, this guy screams starter. But then he also has a lot of stretches where you're like, you're screaming at the TV, why aren't you better than this right now? So we'll see what comes of that one. But it's been a fascinating summer. I'm not willing to say that Pelinka is killing it, but I will say that it's a solid run to this point. All right, let's see. I'm going to scroll up to the top. Mark Harper asks, who do you think is gone to create space? Vando, Dalton, or Bronny? As I said earlier, I don't think Vando is going anywhere. I just don't think that the Lakers want to give up the assets necessary to move Vando. And again, like, this team doesn't have enough perimeter defense. And I think that by having Walker Kessler and having him, you know, just anticipating playing deep drop more frequently because you have Walker Kessler on your team and maybe switching a little bit less, that makes it so that Jared Vanderbilt makes a lot more sense defensively on this team. I think that Rob has added enough shooting to where you can play Jared Vanderbilt more frequently and have him be the only non-shooter on the team. Like, I'm really looking forward to Mamu Vando lineups. I think that's going to be a really, like, something like a lineup with, like, Grimes. We'll go Sexton, Grimes, Vando, Tybull, and Mamu. Like, that's an interesting lineup. I would watch that lineup. Now, I don't know how many minutes both Luka and Austin are going to be sitting. So if you want to say, like, Austin goes into that Sexton spot, I'm down with that. Same goes for Luka going into that Sexton spot. I think that would make some sense there as well. But I do think, though, that, like, Vando and his skill set as kind of a really pesky defender who really gets after it, takes somebody out of a rhythm, surrounded by enough shooting to make him make a little bit more sense out there. And then on top of that, like, this guy, Vando, I think is really important within the context of this group's, like, locker room vibes. Thibault, by the way, is a really good locker room vibe kind of guy too. I think that, you know, Vando makes a lot more sense here, and I'm not as, like, adamant about getting Vando off of this roster as quickly as humanly possible as I maybe thought I would be going into the summer. I think he makes a lot of sense on this team. I think he sticks around. Bronny, we'll see where LeBron goes. Dalton is almost definitely gone one way or another. Like, if there was a candidate to be waived, if, like, you know, in case the Lakers aren't able to find that consolidation trade, I actually think Dalton is the most likely player to be waived of anybody on this roster. He and his camp have been looking for a new situation dating back to last season. And I think the Lakers have been kind of anxious to move on from the Dalton Connect experience. And so one way or another, whether it's the consolidation trade where he and Jaden Hardy go out the door together, or whether it's just Dalton getting waived to make room for this Thibault agreement, I think that is the likeliest way that this plays out. I would be shocked if Dalton Connect was on the team next season.
Bye, everyone.